Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The portion of Scripture for our meditation this morning is recorded for us in the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 13, beginning with the first verse. This is our second lesson for today, this 21st Sunday after Pentecost. Dear friends in Christ, everyone is interested in money to some sort of extent. Now, if you watch any TV show that's aimed at mature adults, it seems as if half the commercials are about money. Maybe it's a commercial for some investment company, or a credit card company, or a bank. You see advertisement after advertisement, or you can stumble upon a website or a book that talks about money, how to increase your wealth, or how you should invest your money. We are constantly thinking about money, constantly worried about how much something costs or how much someone makes for their particular line of work and if we can afford something or if we can't afford something. Everyone is interested in money to some extent. And we always welcome the advice of the experts. Now, we may not always listen to their advice because that's just the way we are, but we are always interested in learning more. Is it that way with God? What about what God says about the use of the money and possessions that we have that He graciously gives to us? Well, a lot of times we're not so interested in that. We say, that's my money. I worked hard for that money, and I have a right to do with it as I want to do it. Then you can hear people complain and say, well, all the church is interested about is money. I don't think it's really appropriate for the pastor to be talking about money at all. But is it money? Is it possessions that the church is after? As we saw in the opening lines of our service, God is not interested. He doesn't need our offerings. God wants the heart. A saying that some attribute to Martin Luther, although it seems as if he didn't say it, someone else probably came up with it, is that the last part of a person to be converted is his pocketbook. It's hard for people to give up their money and trust God to take care of them. They believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior. They will confess Him as Lord. They know the truth of His Word, and they will defend those truths against all attacks. But when it comes time to open up their wallets and give an offering to the Lord, well, then they offer excuse and after excuse and give just enough to ease their conscience a little. Today, we see that stewardship is often not a matter of finances as it is a matter of the heart. Now, I'll admit, it is true that the economy isn't the best. It's been a long and slow recovery up here, if you can even call it a recovery at all. Perhaps you don't have the job that you want, or maybe you have to spend a lot just to drive to many hours to your job each day. Maybe you don't get paid as much as you would like, or after the government takes its share through taxes, you really don't have that much else. Perhaps you accumulated a lot of debt for whatever reason, or you're still paying for some past financial mistakes that you made. Maybe you have medical bills that need to be paid off. The little bit of amounts of money that you were able to invest, maybe they're not doing all that well lately. In times, it seems it's tough. But times aren't that tough. No one here has gone without food because they haven't been able to afford to buy food. We all have a house to live in and a bed to sleep in. We have all the necessities and we have plenty of things we don't need. Things like large TVs and multiple cars in the garage and phones, other things to entertain us. If you add up all the money that you spent on eating out at restaurants and fast food, that'd be one of your highest bills for the month. We have more than just the necessities. It may seem as if it's hard to make ends meet, as if we pay for the necessities and that's about it. We don't have room for anything else. But what we consider necessities aren't necessarily necessities. Things like internet access or cable or satellite TV or smartphone plans. Those are things people a generation or two ago never had. And yet now many of us consider those necessities that we must have. Our necessities aren't necessarily necessities. So we see that the financial decisions that we make on a daily basis are often a matter of the heart. What is important to you in your life? So examine your life. Examine what's in your heart. What is most important to you in your life? I hope and pray that all of us here just said to themselves, well, God and His Word is first and foremost in my life. And good, that's what it should be according to the first commandment. But how does that play out in your life? That's what often shows what is in our heart. Who gets first fiddle in your life? The first fruit. Often it seems as if our own happiness or contentment or our own wants and desires, we satisfy those first. You see a commercial or you see something in a magazine or you have a friend who has something new and you want it new, so you go out and buy it so you can try it, or you see you can brag that you have it, you try to keep up with everyone else. Or it's maybe a fact that what we have and what we make often becomes more important than God and His Word. It may seem as if we are more concerned about making money, about keeping money, than we are about God's Word and spreading His gospel. We focus so much on what we have that God gets pushed to the side. We feed ourselves and we feed others. We feed ourselves for the future. And it seems as if God gets the crumbs that are left if our plate isn't already clear. So concerned about ourselves and our possessions that God gets very little. Or maybe it's not that you're concerned about earthly things. Maybe you're not concerned about possessions and so on and so forth, but your words. You're not going to be able to work forever. Maybe you're already retired and you're worried about your finances for the future. You want to be able to live a comfortable life when you are retired. You want to make sure your money's not going to run out, or maybe you're not even looking that far ahead. Maybe you're worried and you want to provide for your kids and pay for some of their college, and college is getting more and more expensive, and you got to start saving. You know that you could lose all your money. Maybe you could get sick and have to pay off medical bills, or you won't be able to work and you want to have some security to fall back on. You want to make sure that if a tragedy would happen, that you would be covered. And so you worry. And so you hoard your money to yourself and God gets left out once again. Of course, I'm not saying that we should be foolish with our use of money. It is certainly a gift from God, one that He wants us to be smart about using it. He doesn't want you to simply give all your money away without thinking about it. And it's certainly not wrong to save and to plan ahead for the future. It is true that God gives us more than we need now so that He can provide for us in the future, so that we can save up and provide for ourselves when we're not able to work. So it's good to be smart and wise with our money. Again, it comes down to the heart. Where do you put your trust and assurance? Now, we often rely on our own planning, on our own gifts and abilities. We tell ourselves, well, if I have a certain amount of money in the bank, I have something to fall back on, and I'm assured that I will be safe and sound because of my planning, because of the gifts and abilities that I have done. Instead of focusing on Christ, instead of focusing on God who richly and daily provides for us, our assurance comes on what we have in the bank. Or if we don't have much, well, then we worry. And we don't know what's going to happen in the future. We know that it could all come crashing down at any moment. It's often not a matter of finances. It's often a matter of the heart. We think about the widow and the widow's mite. She gave the equivalent of about 2 pennies, and yet she gave all she had to the Lord, knowing that He would provide for her. And Jesus said she gave more, trusting in the Lord, than all those others who gave the equivalent of thousands of dollars. When we take a look at our lives, we are often like the rich man in our gospel for today. As we said, the last part of a person to be converted is often the pocketbook. This man thought he was a believer. This man was ready to do everything except use his money in a God-pleasing way. Often that stems because we either love money too much or we don't trust God enough to take care of us. Trusting instead in what we have in our bank accounts. So we do good to look again at the promises and the care of what God gives to us. That He is the one who has provided for us in the past. That He will continue to provide for us again and again. Look at what the writer to the Hebrews quotes in verse 5. The Israelites were about to enter the promised land. And God gave them words of assurance. God has said, "Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." The Lord promises to be with us and to take care of us. He promises that He won't leave us alone, that He won't make us fend for ourselves, that He will always provide for us, that He will always take care of us, no matter what situation we're in. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus talks about the birds of the air and the flowers of the field. Take a little sparrow, for example. So seemingly insignificant and small, and yet they're never worried about where their food's going to come from. They're never worried about what's going to happen to them in the future. God always provides for them. And same with the flowers of the field. They always have enough to live. And so if God provides for something like flowers or sparrows, what is He going to do for you? The crown of His creation. How is He going to provide for you who are His own dear child through faith? The Lord has always provided for you. The Lord has always taken care of you, and He always will. And He promises to take care of you even more the more you give back to Him. No one has ever failed to make ends meet because they gave too much to the church. So there's no such thing as giving too much to the church. No one has ever said that I can't feed my children because I am too generous to Christ. That's because Christ promises to richly and generously bless us the more we give back to Him. As Paul says in 2 Corinthians 9, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. The more you give to Him, the more He will bless you. And so that you will never have to worry about being in need. Not that we give, not that a motivation for giving is so that we can get more from God. No, he promises these things to knock down one pedestal that we stand on as an excuse of how we don't give much to God. Because we won't have enough for ourselves. And God says, no, the more you give to me, the more I will give to you. In fact, he dares us to give too much to him. He challenges us to give too much to him. As he says in Malachi chapter 3, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. O Lord, always provides for us and will richly and generously provide for us every day of our lives. And there's another reason why we don't have to be afraid of giving too much money, that we won't have enough to support ourselves and our family or have enough in retirement. It comes from a quote from Psalm 118. The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? All our money may be stolen. Maybe lost if the stock market crashes, or you may have to give it all to doctors and hospitals if you rack up medical bills. Something may happen where you lose all your money, but in the end, it doesn't matter. It's just money. The Lord is your helper. There's no reason to be afraid. In the end, you're going to be in heaven, a place where there is no need for money. A perfect place with your Savior forever. So it doesn't matter what you have or what you don't have. It doesn't matter what will happen to you in the future. Nothing can really happen to you. In the end, you're going to be with Jesus in heaven. All because of the work of Christ. Because Christ gave up the glories and riches of heaven and became poor, became a poor human, living in a simple world like us. And yet, Christ never failed to honor God with his money. Christ never cared more about money and possessions than he did about God and his word. He lived that perfect life for us and gave us that perfect life on the cross. So as if we never cared too much about money, it's as if we have kept God's commands perfectly and always trusted in him. It is Christ who took away our sins on the cross as he shed his blood, covering over our sin with a robe of his righteousness. It is Christ who rose from the dead 3 days after his death to assure us that we too will rise from the dead. And on the last day, through faith in him, we will join him body and soul forever in heaven. This salvation, this gift of forgiveness of sins, this gift of eternal life is given to us for free by Christ. It's not something we can earn, not something that we deserve, not something that we can buy by giving offerings to the Lord, not something that we can buy by any amount of gold or silver. This is a free gift, a most precious gift of all, worth more than any amount of gold or silver or precious stone. The greatest possession we have, including faith, which receives the blessings of salvation, is a gift given to us for free by Christ. Not because we have earned or deserved it, but a gift of his grace, of his mercy, of his love. And this gift of salvation, that is the reason why we give back to God. We don't give to him because it's expected of us. Because people might look down upon us or because we feel guilty if we don't give to Him. We give to Him willingly and cheerfully because He has won for us salvation, something we couldn't do on our own because He has given us that greatest gift of all for free. Out of love and gratitude in our hearts, we open up our pocketbooks and give thankfully to the Lord. So we ask ourselves when we sit down and make our budget, when we sit down and decide what to give in our hearts, we ask ourselves, how much is my salvation to me, worth to me? How can I thank God for this special gift, this greatest gift that He has given me? If we could, we would give everything back to God. Not to pay for our eternal life, but as a way to give thanks to Him. Let me ask ourselves, how much is the salvation of others worth? Maybe it's your children, or your friends, or neighbors, or someone down in a new mission startup in Texas, or someone halfway across the world. How much is their salvation worth? Not that you give in order to buy their salvation. Of course, we can't do that. But we give for the spread of the gospel. We give so that we can grow in our faith. We give so that others may hear the gospel, so that they may be brought to faith by the working of the Holy Spirit through that gospel and join us in heaven forever. Again, it's a marker of giving thanks to God so others may join us in heaven for eternity. Our stewardship is often not a matter of finances. It's often a matter of the heart. God's gift of money is certainly a gift from God that we want to use according to His will and according to give Him glory. No amount of money will get you into heaven. You can't take it with you when you die. Is Christ who won salvation for you. A gift He gives you for free. So we willingly give to Christ and we give to Him our best. The first fruits is what our Lord deserves. Our first and our best. And we cheerfully give to Him, not because it's expected of us, not because He wants us to, but because we want to. We want to thank and praise Him for the gracious gift of eternal life that He has won for us, and we want to spread the gospel so others may join us in heaven. There's no reason to be afraid. No reason to doubt that we won't be able to make ends meet because the Lord is always with us and taking care of us and providing for us. We will not suffer no matter how gracious, we give back to our Lord. We simply put it in His hands and know that He is with us and will bless us until He gives us our inheritance in heaven forever. Amen. Please stand. Now the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.